In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have with me again Father Matt Williams, who will be speaking on the power of the resurrection.
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had been in the tomb, and the angel had rolled the stone back and sat upon it and said that he is not here, he has been raised. And so they're making their way to Peter and the apostles, and it goes like this in verse 8. "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, Hail! And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests and all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with them, with the elders, and taken counsel, they gave them a sum of money to the soldiers. And they said, Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money, and they did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day."
The tomb is empty. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Yesterday on my homily that I gave, I didn't speak too much about Jesus being raised from the dead, other than that he works in power. There's resurrection power. And I told them the story about this lady. Many years ago, when I was a layperson, I went to the Trappist monastery just to be quiet. I needed to be quiet. And you know what happened? The monk sent this lady to me. And she was afraid of everything. She was afraid of living, afraid of dying. She was afraid of everything. And I prayed with her, and resurrection power flowed through her. And she was completely, completely renewed. She was afraid of everything. She wanted to die. She wanted to live. She was afraid of cars. She was afraid of everything. And I got the root of the fear, and we prayed, and there was like resurrection glory that came through her, like this black velvet thing that had been around her face, and there was no black velvet thing. The power of God was like lightning struck her, and she was completely, completely healed by the power of the resurrection.
Well, the indisputable evidence of the resurrection is the empty tomb. And Father Tom, I remember you telling the story a long time ago of a little boy who he was always slow to learn, right? And he was always the last one to get things. And so he's in his religious ed classroom, and the teacher, it's springtime, it's Easter time, the teacher gives him one of those, you know, those plastic eggshells, and she gives them the assignment to go out into the schoolyard and to find signs of the resurrection and to put them inside the egg, the little plastic egg, to come in, and then they would present them to the class. And so little Joey, like I said, he's always kind of slow and little behind when it comes to getting things and figuring things out, and he gets made fun of a lot. So the kids go out and they come back and they start opening up their eggshells, and one child opens up and it's a piece of a blade of grass, and another child opens up and it's a sprouting leaf from a tree, another one has a flower petal, another one has a cocoon, and all of them go on to say how these are signs of spring, that the leaves in the tree were once dead and now they're growing back again, the blades of grass die. And they come back again after the winter into the spring. The cocoon with both the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly, etc., etc. Well, anyways, little Joy gets up there, and he opens up his eggshell, and it's empty. And so the kids start snickering, thinking he didn't get it again. He's slow to learn. And the teacher feels embarrassed. And so she says to him, "Joey, what happened? Did it fall out of the egg? Where's the item that you're going to put in your eggshell?" And he looks and he says to her, and he says to the class, "Oh, I didn't forget to put anything." He said, "On the third day, the tomb was empty." The tomb was empty. There was nothing in it. So my shell is empty because the tomb was empty. Hallelujah. The tomb was empty. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And Father Tom, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, he is who he says he is. He has defeated death. He's the Lord of glory. And because of that, it changes everything. It gives meaning to who we are, what the meaning of life is, why we're here on this earth, and what our ultimate destiny is after we die in this world by faith in Jesus Christ, that he is risen from the dead. He is the victorious one, and it makes all the difference in the world.
And there is power in the resurrection. There is power in the resurrection. Resurrection power comes through the Holy Spirit. We have seen so many things happen. Just the other day, a little woman who had cancer, we prayed with her months ago, and she was completely healed. And on Holy Thursday, she came up to me and says, I have another tumor, and would you pray with me? And I prayed with her on Holy Thursday, and she went to have a CAT scan on Friday, and you know what? She said, it's benign. So God works. God works. God is powerful. Jesus is Lord. He is the King of glory. He has been raised from the dead. There is power in the resurrection. I'm telling you about Sean, who came to me many years ago. And when I touched him, he fell to the ground. And he was seeing Jesus, and Jesus was inviting him to love him. Jesus said, I love you, Sean. He said, I love you, Jesus. And the beautiful thing, you could feel the power of the resurrection that was all around Sean. And then I said, what happened? He said, I woke up because you called me. But you see, he experienced the power of the resurrection. It's not only that Jesus is risen from the dead, but there is an infinite power that goes with Jesus, who is risen from the dead.
And Father, we prayed in the Mass yesterday that God shows no partiality, right? That God's divine blessings are for everyone, and he desires the whole world to know and to love Jesus and to be saved by his holy name. You know, there's no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus Christ. He's the one mediator between God and humanity, right? He's the one mediator. He says, I am the way, the truth, in the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. As you've said so many times, Father, that if there's anyone in heaven, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only one who is the victor over death. And as St. Paul says, right, that if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain, and we're the most pitiable of people. But because he's risen, we have the hope of sharing an everlasting life, provided that we walk with him, that we have faith in him, that we repent of our sins, and we live in the power of his resurrection. And you know, this reality that God shows no partiality, he wants, obviously, he gives everyone that opportunity to come to know him and to love him. And God sets up divine appointments. And Father, I had a divine appointment this past week heading into Holy Week. Right in the midst of Holy Week, there was a young adult who I encountered who he didn't know I was going to be there, and I didn't know he was. I'd never met this young man before in my life, okay? But we all both ended up being at the same place at the same time, and he wanted to talk to the priest. And he starts just telling me his story, and you know, he hit on some hard times. I would say he probably bought into the world, Father. You know, if it feels good, do it. And you can imagine all the different things that what that means, you know. And he had bought into it, and it left him empty. He had a health problem, and ran into some challenges there, and he hit rock bottom. He was empty. And see, this is the thing. Sin never makes us happy. It never makes us happy. It always leaves us empty. But the problem is that we don't give ourselves a second to taste the emptiness. We go for the next high, and the high after that, and the high after that. But we don't realize that sin leaves us feeling empty, and that real true fulfillment comes in a relationship with Jesus, right? Comes in living a life in Christ. But that also means we have to cut out sin out of our life. So we were talking, Father, And he's sharing me this stuff, and he was saying how, because he grew up Catholic, how he was really into service, and he likes doing service. And, you know, a lot of people say when they do service, they feel good, right? You feel good. Well, of course you feel good, because you're helping other people. But sometimes, Father, we can make service
God,
and we can make it, it's really about us. We do a service because it makes us feel good. Oh, isn't it nice I was able to do that for that person? I feel good about myself. Instead of, well, you know what, sometimes service is painful, and most times it's sacrificial because it calls us to come out. If we only serve when it feels good, we're only going to serve half the times, right? So anyways, he feels good about service, but then he says, you know, and he says, Father, he was into, you know, Eastern yoga and Eastern meditation and Eastern religions and all that. So I said to him, because this is a Catholic boy, you know, young man, and I said to him, well, what about Jesus? You know, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because here's the thing, like, Father, I've learned too, like, the hard way, we can't just talk about God in general, because people, when you start talking about God, they'll start talking about energy, and it becomes like the God of your understanding. Not that that's totally negative, but like, we want to talk about God revealed in the person of his beloved son, Jesus Christ, because there's salvation in no other name, and Jesus is risen from the dead, and we want them to know the person of Jesus. So he's like, well, I don't know. He goes, I pray to God, and I do this meditation, and, you know, I like to think about all these things. I don't drill down about who God is in that particular way. And so I said to him, oh, okay, isn't that interesting? So then, Father, we started doing a little apologetics about Eastern religions. I said, well, you know, Buddhism is really a philosophy, you know, right? Buddhism is really a philosophy. And remember, on his deathbed, as you remind us often, Father, Buddha said, I seek the truth. I still seek truth. And Jesus, on the night before he died, said, I am the truth. And I said, you know, with Hinduism, I said, you know, that's really a religion of paganism. You know, it's really a man-made religion where they're projecting upon these all these different deities and things like that. And had I more time and stuff, you know, we could have talked about reincarnation and stuff and, you know, the lack of the more immortality of the soul and that you are unique, unrepeatable soul gift person that lives forever. The God creator lived forever. And so I started going about these different things about Eastern religions, you know, and how they're really man-made. But the deal breaker is Christianity. Jesus Christ is God's son, and that God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus. God comes to us. God comes to us and reveals himself and invites us to friendship through his son. It's completely different than all of the other world religions. And even if you look at pagan, like Greek mythology, Father, you know, in Greek mythology, we're always trying to appease the gods, right? The gods are not necessarily the most benign of characters or the most, you know, gracious or the most merciful or kind. We're always trying to, like, do the best that we can to appease the gods, and never in thought of Greek mythology would a god humble himself to become one of us and be a servant of us, and then to offer himself in sacrifice and atonement to God for the forgiveness of sins. This is inconceivable in world religions. What God does in with and through Jesus is inconceivable, that God would become man, humble himself, become a slave, give himself in atonement for our sins, and then invite us to share in his divine life. Inconceivable. So, Father, and as I started talking with all this, you know what he said to me, and I almost fell to the floor. He said to me, Father, how can I have a relationship with Jesus? Isn't that music to your ears? How can I have a relationship with Jesus? I'd also shared with him a little bit about Dr. Kraft had often said, you know, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord, right? You know, either he said all these things and he really isn't risen from the dead, right? And so that means he's a liar, right? Because he said, I'm the Son of God, on the third day I'll be raised again. And then, if he didn't rise from the dead, then he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. He, you know, got all these men to follow him. He's a madman, and he convinced all these men to continue on this message even after he had died, and whether his body was eaten up by animals or stolen or whatever the lie was. He got them to buy the lie and it continued on for 2,000 years. Or he's the Lord of glory and he's risen from the dead. And when I when I helped this young man to see all this, he said, how can I have a relationship with Jesus? And isn't that really what we're about? And as we see the divine power manifested, it's this, one soul at a time that God's going to bring us to people, right? And he's going to bring people to us. And we've been equipped through the power of the Holy Spirit to speak that word, because faith comes by hearing in what is proclaimed in the power of Jesus' love for us, and that he is the Lord and there is no other.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there is a necessity for the preacher. The preacher is the most important person as he preaches Jesus Christ the Lord, as he preaches his death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, we need preachers, men, women, anyone who will step out and tell people about Jesus, that Jesus is the Lord. When we go to feed the poor on a Saturday, I holler out the first thing, Jesus Christ is Lord of this place. He is Lord of this place. And then we bless the food and the people come to eat. I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And how do you have a relationship with Jesus? The way you have a relationship with people. First of all, you spend time with that person. You spend time with that person, and you start sharing with that person, and you start sharing about your life with that person. And that's how you have a relationship. But it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. How I need the Holy Spirit. He is so important in the life of grace. And so many people have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. In Acts of the Apostles, Paul asked some people in Ephesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They said, we didn't even know there was one. We didn't even know there was one. But Paul made sure that before he left, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Paul made sure that happened. This is for us. Do you know the Holy Spirit? He makes real the risen Lord. He glorifies Jesus always. Whenever we see the Holy Spirit, he always glorifies Jesus. He tells us of the power of Jesus. He tells us of the love of Jesus. He tells us of the forgiveness of Jesus. Oh, blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Consoler.
And Father, isn't that the formula in the early church, right? That they proclaim Jesus so that the faith begins to be enkindled. And then with that faith, they invite them to repentance. And as they repent and are baptized, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as you were alluding to with Paul's proclamation there. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And Father, as you've mentored me and taught me so well with this young man, and I actually did it when I preached on Sunday morning at St. Joseph's in Holbrook on Easter Sunday, when I'd share with them the story about this young man and how can I have a relationship with Jesus, you know. And then I invited them into the sinner's prayer. And I did that with this man. Because first of all, as I did with this man and I did with the congregation, I said, how do you have a relationship with Jesus? You know, first of all, as you said, Father, it's so important that we mentor people and share our story and pray with them. And I kind of said that, having a relationship with Jesus is not unlike a dating relationship that leads to marriage. You spend time with the person, you invest in them, you talk on the phone with them, right? You start to really get to know each other, right? That's prayer, right? That's the first step in a relationship with Jesus, is spending time with them in prayer and with his word, right? We going to mass, sacraments, and then as we grow in a relationship with someone, right, don't we then begin to order our lives around that person, right? You spend more and more time with them, so that means you're not spending time with other things or other people, right? You order your life around that person and you get engaged, in a very particular way, you are planned to order your life for the rest of your life with this person. That's turning away from sin, right? Ordering our life around God means that as we draw closer to the Lord, we want to get rid of those things that are not godly. We desire to live more like him. We want to become more like him. We want to be perfected in his love. We want to be holy. We want to allow Christ's love to burn in us and to burn away all that's not of him by his grace. It's all by grace, right? And then the third thing You know, as you start to fall in love and then you get married, you desire to love the things that your beloved loves, right? You want to love what your beloved loves, even if it's kind of hard, but it's important to them, so you make it important to you. Well, what does God love? God loves people, right? God loves people. And so if we're going to love God, we want to love what God loves, which is His people, right? And we want to be a vessel of God's love for His people. And so, like, so a relationship with Jesus is one of prayer, the sacraments, the scripture, right? From there, turning away from sin, going to confession, and loving His people, evangelization, sharing what you've received. I love the best definition of evangelization, right? In my own opinion, right? Telling one beggar, telling another beggar where to get the bread, right? One beggar telling another beggar where to get the bread. So, Father, at this Mass yesterday, I've never done this before at Mass, but I felt really inspired. I really felt inspired by you, Father D. I'm like, you know what? This is something we got to do at Mass. So I said, I invite you all to please pray. You know, you're invited. You don't have to do it, but I invite you all to please pray. Join me in prayer. And we did the sinner's prayer. You know, Father, actually, you can maybe lead this in the sinner's prayer. I don't know, maybe right even now we can always use it. But an important part of the sinner's prayer is asking the Holy Spirit to come and take over.
So repeat after me. Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I invite Jesus into my heart.
I invite Jesus into my heart.
I ask Him to forgive my sins.
I ask Him to forgive my sins.
I ask Him to fill me with the love of God.
I ask Him to fill me with the love of God.
I ask Him to be my Lord and Savior.
I ask Him to be my Lord and Savior.
I ask Him to fill me with the Holy Spirit.
I ask Him to fill me with the Holy Spirit.
And fill me with more love than I've ever experienced.
Fill me with more love than I've ever
I need you, Jesus.
I need you, Jesus.
I'm desperate for you, Jesus.
I'm desperate for you, Jesus.
I want to fall in love with you, Jesus.
I want to fall in love with you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 I remember doing this prayer at a funeral of a young man, and people thought I was nuts. But one guy many years later came and said, when you did that prayer, I gave my life to Jesus. One person. Everybody else thought I was nuts, maybe. But that's okay. That's okay. That one person gave their life to Jesus. And they started to get transformation. This is real. This is real. We're not talking ragtime. We're talking reality. That Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That there is resurrection power available. Jesus said, signs like these shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. I'm telling you that this is a necessity for people to lay hands upon the sick and believe that they're going to be healed. This is a necessity. As I said, I prayed with this little girl on Thursday, and God bless her. It was only benign. And she just had her third baby. And the baby is as healthy as can be by the grace of the living God. We all do these things by the grace of the living God.
Father, I was just a couple of things. I mean, I think of the vigil mass, the Easter vigil, when the Lord tells Moses, right, to put raise your hands over the Red Sea with your raised rod, and to pray for the sea to part, right? And Moses, when he was initially, I would imagine, when he heard the Lord say that, he must have said, this is kind of nuts, but if that's what the Lord asks, then I'll do it and see what happens, you know. And that, and when he first did that, though, he had to act in faith, because the Red Sea is flowing in front of him as it's always been, you know. And you step out in faith, and then, you know, God does things. You know, He doesn't always answer things the way that we want or hope that He's going to answer, but you step out in faith, and you know that God's going to honor that. You know He's going to honor that. And if He desires to do something immediately right then, praise the Lord. And if He doesn't, we praise Him anyways. We continue to praise Him. So we had the Hunger for Justice this week. Again, Father Tom, and this was run out of St. Mary's High School in Lynn, Massachusetts, and they were the central organizing group, and teens came from young people. So this was a high school service retreat, and teens came from all over the Archdiocese of Boston, predominantly in the North Shore, but we had teens from the South Shore as well. And from Good Friday, 12 noon, to 4 p.m. on Easter Saturday, I should say on Holy Saturday, these young people fasted for well over 30 hours. They participated in the Good Friday service. We prayed the rosary and did a living rosary as we walked up to the church for Good Friday services. They did service projects. They watched the Passion of Christ. We had a healing service. Well, anyway, so we start out at the Short Beach in Nahant. And then we do an opening exercise at the beach, you know, get icebreaker and a dramatic dramatization of the gospel, and then a preaching of the word, and then we make our way up to St. Thomas. Well, anyways, while we were there, we're gathering and it's raining, and we're saying, do we do this or not? And so we said, Lord, you know, we're going to trust in you, and if we're going to step out in faith and just do this because it's too late now. And we stepped out, and we say, because it wasn't clear whether the rain was going to stop or not. So we stepped out in faith, and Father, the rain stopped, and it was supposed to rain. The rain stopped from like right around 12:30 through 3 o'clock, and God honored the faith.
God honors faith the size of a mustard seed. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Believe today that Jesus Christ loves you, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that Jesus has a plan for your life, even you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.